see. Oh, yeah. If you elbow her and she screams, then I'll know that's the sigh. Good morning. Okay, Mark's handing out some of these if you didn't get one. Maybe you're up to date on this, maybe not. You may have heard of the Equality Act. How about Unequality Act? But anyway, this happens to be written up by Franklin Graham, but it gives some insight as to how it will affect churches, schools, your kids, your grandkids. It's going to have a real big domino effect, and it's not good. So if you haven't contacted your senator that's went through the House already, the Senate goes up to the Senate, and they'll be voting on it, and it could easily come up to the 49 to 50 vote that the so-called COVID relief bill passed. Yeah. 9% COVID relief, but that's what we call it. So anyway, like they say, elections have consequences. So anyway, look that over. Did everybody pick up a communion cup? If not, you'll want to go back there and get one of these, all right? Or else, okay? We'll be doing that here in just a minute. Thank you for praying for Rebecca and her dad, who had surgery, shoulder surgery, and said he's doing well, and that they did get their visas. So they're, the 14th, I think she said. No, that's Sunday. It's within the next week or so that they're planning on leaving for Africa. Now, I don't know how his rehab's going to be going about that point, but so you continue to pray for them if you would. Got a note here. Dear family and friends at First Baptist Church, thank you much for your love and support and prayers while I was in the hospital. This is Michelle speaking here. We praise God that this incident wasn't a repeat of 2 years ago and merely a side effect of medication. Better safe than sorry. My apologies for giving everyone a scare. Well, we all take turns at that, right? Thank you for all the ways that you have reached out to us and shown your love in uplifting me in prayer. Love, Bob, Michelle, and the rest of the family. So, God still hears and answers prayer, all right? And we're thankful that we can kind of pass the word along. We don't get everybody text because I don't have everybody's cell phone. So if you want to get a text when we got a big something important coming through, give me your text. I won't send you jokes or anything, but we'll send a prayer request. And for those of you with email, check it once in a while. Doesn't do much good. It's kind of like leaving your mail out in the mailbox for a week or so. So we try to let people know what's going on so you can pray for one another. And appreciate it when you do. All right, so look over your bulletin there. Next Sunday is our fellowship time. If you want to come, bring a snack to share. Looks like we could use some help. Now's your opportunity, folks. If you haven't signed up for snow shoveling, but you wanted your name on the list, sign up. It's supposed to be 50 all week, so, you know. All right, okay. That's when we know spring comes, is when we replace the snow shoveling for the lawn mowing sheet, right? That's when we know we've finally arrived. Okay, Kathy signed up for cleaning, but those of you who've done that, it's kind of nice to have another person to split up the job. So if you'd like to help her out, let her know here, okay, today. Good enough. Okay, here a while back, it's been a while, but finally got some of these printed off. So if you were one of the few that said that you'd like a church constitution, the new and improved version, okay, we've got some up here in the front pew. So feel free to come up and pick one up at the close of the service today, okay? All right. I think we are ready to go. How about song number 195? 195, Nothing But the Blood. Chris is going to lead us, and then we'll have our communion time.
Well, good morning, everyone. I don't know. I think I heard that it might be in the 60s this week. Boy, they said, what, last November since the last time we've had temperatures like that? So praise God. So if you wouldn't mind standing, we'll sing the first three verses of hymn number 195, Nothing But the Blood. And if you know your parts, sing them out.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this I plead, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Oh, no other found I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
First three is last.
Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen, and you may be seated.
See if I can catch up with you here. I forget to peel this back. Hey, now remember this, okay? These little cups are what? I know what's in it, but what's on top? I'm not hearing, not what's in it, but what the thing is that we're peeling back? So. It's a seal, right? Oh, yeah, okay. So this is an illustration of a seal, not the ones in the ocean, but the other ones. And so we're going to be talking about the seal of the Holy Spirit here shortly, okay? So, you know, preachers are always looking for an illustration. So I didn't think about that when we were coming up with it. Okay, so we invite you to participate with this. If you haven't gotten one of the cups back there, looks like there's one left. Wow. We'll have to dig a little deeper in the box. What do you think? When we're done with this box, can we go back to... Yeah. Okay. Just asking. So we do invite you to participate. You don't have to be a member of our church to partake of communion, but we do ask that you've come to that point in your life where you've trusted in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, because this is what it's all about, his shed blood and body there on the cross. Jesus Christ came to this world not just so that we'd have a day to celebrate Christmas. He ultimately came to die on a cross to be our substitute. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. We deserve to die for our sins. And yet Jesus Christ willingly went to the cross in our place as our substitute to die for us and to shed his blood. And as we sang here today, what can wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing else will do. And there is no substitute. Usually wherever there's something worthwhile, somebody's going to come along and make a cheaper substitute. Well, there is no substitute for the blood of Christ. And it's able to accomplish what nothing else can do. But you need to have come to that point where you trusted, not in your church membership or your baptism or helping little old ladies across the street. Do they even do that anymore? Boy Scout tried to help a little old lady cross the street. Nowadays, he'd probably get arrested for... He's supposed to be 6 foot away. No, I'm sorry. I'm having too much fun with this. No. But no, really, you know, it's not all the good deeds that we do that's going to get us to heaven. It's trusting in Jesus Christ alone. He said, I am the way, okay? There is no other way. There's no plan B. It's only through Jesus Christ. And so and he's told us to remember what Christ did on the cross. And so once a month, if you're visiting with us, so you know, usually the first Sunday of the month, we observe communion and we'll remind ourselves of what Christ has done. And it tells us about this there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And Paul writes these Corinthian believers and tells them this. He says, there in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, he says, I have received of the Lord that which I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus that same night in which he was betrayed took bread. And if you peel back, if this is first time using these, you peel back the first layer, which I didn't do. Let me catch up. First layer, there's the bread. That tells us when he gave thanks, he broke it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you again that he was willing to die on a cross for us, to provide salvation for us. He did nothing wrong. We were the ones that were doing everything wrong. And thank you, though, that he was willing to die in our place. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. He brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." But see, after the same manner, he also took the cup. He says, when he supped, he's saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the cup. We thank you for this juice that reminds us of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the most powerful thing in this world, able to cleanse away our sin when nothing else can do. We thank you again for willing to die, not because you did anything wrong, but because you loved us. Your word tells us that you loved us even while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Help us to love you and appreciate you for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. So we're reminded of what Christ has done for us. And today we're going to be talking about, because Christ has come, he's went back to heaven. What did he say? He was going to send who? The Holy Spirit. Another comforter like he is. And we're going to sing about that here now. If you'd find that in your hymnal to 257. 257.
Praise God that our God is the God of all comfort. So if you wouldn't mind, please standing. We'll sing all three verses of hymn number 257. And once again, if you know soprano, alto, tenor, bass, you know your parts, sing it out. You know, I'm just sort of fishing around to see if we've got the makings of a choir in here somewhere.
Tidings round, wherever man is found, wherever human heart and human foes abound, let every Christian town proclaim the joyful song, the Comforter has come, the Comforter has come, the Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. Oh, the great King of kings, winning in his wings, to every captive soul, a full deliverance brings, and through the vacant cells, the song of triumph rings. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. long this love divine, how shall this tongue of mine to wandering mortals tell the matchless grace divine? If I, a child of hell, should in his image sign the Comforter has come. The Comforter is come. The Comforter is come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given, will spread the tidings round wherever man is found. The Comforter has come.
Amen. You may be seated.
I'm going to sing a couple choruses here in a minute. I'm not sure where to put this in. It doesn't fit anywhere in the service, but public service announcement. How many of you have refinanced your house lately? A few of you. Just something you might want to check, because I think I'm the second one in our group here. After you've got your new loan and your new mortgage company, call them up and ask them. You know, make sure that they are, you do whatever you want, but I've been for the last umpteen years escrowing for house insurance, so when that bill comes due, the money's there. Well, when they switched it, they didn't put that in there, and I was switching insurance companies, otherwise I would not have known, and then you go that year, and then you get a nice big bill in the mail. And they want it tomorrow, you know. So it's worth checking, because isn't that what happened with you guys? Yeah, okay. Dan and Andrea had that happen. And so when I called and they said, oh, we're not escrowing. That's good to know. Well, I got 10 months to catch up, but it's just, but I still had to pay the first year. So, and something else, and I won't get too far off track here, but so most of us want to save a buck, and it doesn't hurt to check here. If you're like me, you've had car insurance, house insurance of the same guy forever, you know, and it just keeps going up, going up. Doesn't hurt to check somewhere else. And I finally got around to doing that. It was on the list, but it was a ways down, and saved hundreds of dollars. So it's same coverage, but it might be worth checking. So, unless you really want to keep giving that to your agent, but I figure I've paid him well over the last 30 years. It's about time to give somebody else a shot at it. So, okay, good enough. That's enough for that. I just thought I'd slip that in. That might be some good news you can use. What? That's not right. Is it? Okay. Nothing else went right with this computer today. I didn't know if I put the wrong one up after all that. Okay, let's try this together. Jesus, you know, one day that's going to happen, but he doesn't want us to wait until the rapture for it to happen. He wants us to be working towards that now and make that a goal of our life. Imagine how much things would be different if we were really like Christ. Maybe we'd be a whole lot less irritated at stuff, and just it'd be a whole different way of life. Think about it. Okay. All right, let's try this next one. On eagle's wings, you can't sit down and sing on eagle's wings, can you? No, you got to get up and make sure you got that distance between you and the neighbor. Hands. Wow. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? That's a safe place, okay? That's a safe place. Thank you. Maybe seated. Junior church young people are dismissed. Okay, if you have your Bibles today, we invite you to turn with us to Ephesians chapter 1. So what's a month away from, well, not date-wise, but first Sunday of next month is what? Resurrection Sunday, Easter, whatever you choose, okay? All right. Okay, we got something else going on this week. What had you better do Saturday night? Clocks forward 1 hour.
I don't know.
Okay, well, we'll know who didn't do that next Sunday. So, all right. Okay. All right. So, we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 today as we talk about the seal of the Holy Spirit. it's a pretty important thing. And this is one of those things that happened to us at the moment of salvation, but we may or may not even be aware of that at that particular time. There's a lot of things that happen at salvation that we don't find out about till later on, okay? As people pointed out, or we get to read in the scriptures. But we've been looking here the last couple of weeks together at some of the blessings that Paul is writing about. And he says there in verse 3 that there's, let me just read it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So we see here that there's blessings that are ours because of the Father, and then of the Son, and also today as we see it here, that of the Holy Spirit. And so we want to be praising the Lord for these spiritual blessings that God gives us. The first, just a little review here that we got from the Father, the fact that there is an outline if you want to follow along with us today, that we have been chosen by God, and we're chosen to be before Him without blame, before Him in love. We've been predestinated by God in that we receive the adoption. We're able to be brought into the family of God. And we're accepted by God. And we see here, too, that there's also blessings that we visited and looked at there from the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw here that He redeemed us. He bought and paid for us with His blood. And He has forgiven us for when we trust Christ as salvation. It's not an automatic thing. Christ died on the cross, so we're all forgiven. We're all headed for heaven. You know, some might believe that, but that's not what the scriptures teach. We have a responsibility ourselves individually to believe. And when we do, when we trust Christ alone for salvation, we are redeemed. We've been bought and paid for with His shed blood. We are forgiven of our sins. And He also has a will, a plan, a purpose, a blueprint, if you will, for our lives. And it's a good thing to get plugged into that, because we're going to be happier, more content doing what God wants us to do than things that we may simply just choose in and of ourselves. And so He's got a plan for us. We ought to know what that is and seek to do it. And it may think, wow, I can't do that. If I had known when I trusted Christ as Savior, God said, you're going to be a preacher someday. I don't think so. But, you know, God reveals it to us as we're able to do something with it, all right? As an 8-year-old boy, that would have been a bit overwhelming. But He said He's also given us an inheritance, okay? This is a for real one. You know, sometimes you get something in the mail, you know, that makes it sound like you're really going to win something. And, you know, here though, what's the reader's? Publisher's sweepstake. $5,000 a week and for, boy, that could, you could lose friends in a hurry. You get to pick somebody else. If you don't pick them, you know, you're in trouble. So, no, this is a for real thing. And God, again, He's stored it away in heaven because He knows what we're like, right? What do we lose? All right, lost them. My keys. Okay, they're in my coat. Anybody ever lose keys? Yeah, what do I do with those things? Or, you know, your glasses. My mom used to say, Grandpa, go around looking for his glasses. Where are they at? Oh, they're over here. Oh, okay. You know, we lose all kinds of stuff, you know. That's why they make little beepers for things that beep, you know, and then you find your... That's why you keep your home phone, so that you can dial your cell phone and it will ring and you can find it. You know, you go out to the car and you... Oh, it's down under the seat here. You know, nobody else says that? No, I know. Yeah, so we see here that God's got blessings for us too. From the Holy Spirit. And this is a part of those all spiritual blessings. And we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And you think, how in the world does the Holy Spirit seal us? Well, we'll see as we go along here today. And let's look there, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. He says, in whom ye also trusted. Previously, you talked about Christ. You trusted in Christ, verse 12. Then in 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth and the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye have believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Now, if you read that kind of fast, you think, what's going on here? Well, we're going to take it in little pieces. And hopefully by the time we're done here, we'll understand what that all means. And so as we're looking at this seal, if we were to define it, we'd find that there are several different ways that a seal can be used. Sometimes we put a seal on something. Once in a while, you still have to go get something notarized, you know, and you got to run to the bank or somewhere and you get something that's sealed. Or, you know, getting to be tax time, you mail off, I suppose everybody but me, e-files, okay, but I'm still mailing mine. Well, you want to put a little extra tape on there to seal that thing up, so that you don't get one of these little plastic bags back, you know, a month or so later with bits and pieces of your tax forms. That happened to me once. So I make sure that thing's really sealed up now. So that's a type of seal. And we want to guarantee the character of the document. We don't want somebody else messing with it inside. It also shows an ownership. You know, that might be kind of like a branding iron today, you know, for cattle or something. It's that shows that that belongs to them. Protect against somebody tampering with it. They put a seal on Christ's tomb so that they supposedly would keep the disciples out from stealing the body and saying that he rose. Well, they didn't need all that. Well, so how does the Holy Spirit seal? Well, we're going to see here as we go along here. It could be a way of guaranteeing, okay, our character, that we are indeed the children of God, because it's only the children of God, true believers, that have the Holy Spirit. And it also can show that we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Let's look at hold your place here in Ephesians. Let's look at a couple other places. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And okay, come on, Romans. There we go. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. Because sometimes you get people that talk about, you know, they're getting the Holy Spirit sometime later after they got saved, some second blessing or something, a delayed thing. No. Either you have the Holy Spirit and you're a believer, or you're not a believer. Okay? There are no believers walking around without the Holy Spirit. This is a verse that tells us that. Romans 8, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He doesn't belong to the Lord. Okay? And the thing is, that's important. We realize everybody that is a believer has the Holy Spirit. And it's not how much of the Holy Spirit you get. Okay, we all get the same amount. The question is, how much control of you does the Holy Spirit have? You got all the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get at the moment of salvation. But and let's see here. Let's go to another place. There in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll see this verse a couple of times. We may not look it up each time. But 1 Corinthians chapter 6. verse 19 and 20. He says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, which is in you? So our bodies are the temple in which the Holy Spirit dwells. That means we ought to be taking good care of our bodies. Okay? What are we putting into our bodies? Okay? Which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Okay? This body doesn't belong to us anymore. Christ bought and paid for us with his shed blood. And the Holy Spirit moves in, takes up residence in our lives. He says, for you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Okay, so it's some of you borrow things from people. I found out that's not a real good idea. I mean, you think, okay, I don't really want to, I'm only going to use this thing once. And I kind of learned the hard way, like maybe some of you did. I remember a long time ago, I was going to plant some little bushes. And it was going to be good if I had some kind of a little, like a shovel, only it's a fork. And I was about the second hole I'm digging, snap. Okay, now I got to go buy him a new fork. And I give it to him. And I still don't have one. Where if I just went and bought one to start with, you know? So anyway, we see here that our bodies don't belong to us anymore. We got to take good care of it, okay? And it belongs to the Lord. It's kind of like it's on loan to us. Take good care of it. He's going to check on us, see how we're doing. So we see here that we've been given this body. We've been given the Holy Spirit to live within us. You can't be saved and not have the Holy Spirit. And it's not some, again, some delayed blessing, some second blessing down the road somewhere. It also shows proof of ownership. We belong to the Lord. And the proof of that is the fact that we have his Spirit. It's a guarantee. It says, until the redemption of the purchased possession, there in verse 14. In other words, we belong to the Lord, and nothing can change that. You can't lose your salvation. God's not going to take the Holy Spirit back and saying, you're none of mine anymore. No, we're his throughout eternity, and the Holy Spirit is ours. I'm not really into politically correctness, but remember what they used to say as a kid? If you gave something to somebody else and you took it back, you called them a what? See, you guys are all guilty. I didn't say that. Right. I don't know why they got such a bad rap, you know. I had some people that want stuff back and that wasn't in their bloodline. But yeah, well, God doesn't do that. Here's your salvation. No. Here, no. He doesn't do that. Once he gives it to us, it's ours. Holy Spirit, he gives us Holy Spirit. He's not, you know, doing this tug of war thing with us. So when are we sealed? Well, it's at the moment of salvation. When we trust Christ as personal Savior, it's at that moment, whether we realize it or not, the Holy Spirit comes up, takes up residence in our lives. Now, there are two prerequisites of this. And we see this in verse 13. He says, in whom ye have also trusted. Okay, so we need to have trusted in the Jesus Christ, the previous verse he's talking about. After you heard the word and the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Okay, so you need to hear the word of God, and we need to hear the truth. There's a lot of places you can hear error, okay? And yet we see here, God's given us the truth. He's given us his word. We can stake our life. We can stake eternity on it. And so we hear the word of God. We believe the truth. And that's going to help satisfy our minds and questions. And then he says, we need to believe. That's our part. That's what we can do. And we believe with our heart. We believe the gospel. We believe that it's true. We believe that Christ is the Son of God. He came from heaven's glory. He grew up, and ultimately he died on a cross. And he shed his blood. He was our substitute. He was buried, that he rose again victorious over sin, death, and the grave. And he has the power to raise us up here one of these days. He has the power to forgive us of our sins. And so as we believe in the gospel, it enables us to call him our Father. Okay? Our Heavenly Father. And he says there in Galatians, he says in chapter 4, verse 6, "And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then heir of God through Christ." And so when we believe, we trust Christ for salvation, he says we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And so the consequence of us believing, trusting Christ alone for salvation, is that we receive the blessing of the Holy Spirit. He comes into our hearts and lives and dwells within us. And we see this next section, and for the sake of time, I'm going to kind of summarize a little bit. You can look up some of these verses here on your own. But we see that the Holy Spirit was something, he operated different, God operated differently in regards to the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. Not everybody was had the Holy Spirit. It was only certain individuals, and then usually it was only for a certain period of time, a certain job that they needed the Holy Spirit to enable them to do, like when they were making the tabernacle and different things like that. They were indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but it wasn't a permanent thing. It was limited in time. It was limited as far as people goes, and like Samson, you know, God empowered Samson with the Holy Spirit to go out and slay the Philistines. And yet through disobedience, they could lose the Holy Spirit. If they were disobedient to God, God could take his Spirit away. And that's one of the things that happened to King Saul. It was one of the things that happened. King David was afraid of after his sin with Bathsheba. There in Psalm 51, he's praying and asking the Lord, "Do not take your Spirit from me." He was concerned that he would lose the Spirit of God. And others in Scripture that we find, like Moses, it said he desired that everybody at some point in time would receive the Spirit of God. And because, again, it was selected. He received the Holy Spirit. Joshua received the Holy Spirit to enable them to lead the people of Israel. But not everybody else did. The prophets also kind of dreamed about the fact that one day everybody would be able to have this Spirit dwelling within them. He talked about that in Joel. And if you look these few verses up, it talks about the fact that he was going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. He says, your sons and your daughters. So it wasn't going to be just for the guys or just for the girls. Okay, there was no sexual distinction here. They were both going to receive the Holy Spirit. He goes on to say that the old men shall dream dreams and your young men shall see visions. The thing is, whether you're young or old, that wasn't going to have anything to do with you being able to receive the Holy Spirit. Both groups were going to be able to have the Spirit. And then there was no social distinctions either, because it says that the servants and the handmaids of those days. So it didn't matter where you're at on the social scale. It wasn't just the religious leaders or something like that. No, everybody was going to be able to have the Holy Spirit. Abraham also talked about this. He mentioned that or God promised to Abraham, he says, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And that's kind of a study in and of itself, but it's through the people of Israel, through the Jewish people, that we are recipients of some of the blessings that we find in Scripture. It's through the Jewish people and that we have the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have a Savior. It's through the Jewish people that we have the Word of God. It's because of people placing their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone that we're able to have the Holy Spirit. And so through them, he says, all the nations, people all around the world are going to be the recipients of that. And Paul says in the Galatians, he says that the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And so the gospel wasn't just for the Jewish people. It went to them first, but then ultimately to the Gentiles. And that's all the rest of us. And so we have the promise of the Holy Spirit. It was the Old Testament believers' desire that other people might experience this. And the thing is, God was at work. You know, usually we think, that God started a work in our lives at the moment we got saved. But in reality, God was working in our hearts and lives before that. And the Word of God tells us it's the Holy Spirit wears a lot of hats. And one of the things, he's our teacher, he's our guide, he's also our convictor. And he's the one who helps us to see our sin and need of a Savior. He's the one that helps us to see how bad off we are, that we are really going to spend eternity in the pits of hell if we don't trust Christ as Savior. And he's the one who brings people into our lives at different points in time. You know, maybe it's a relative, maybe it's a friend or neighbor or somebody you work with that began to talk to you about the Lord Jesus and your need to come to know Christ as Savior. And he's the one who brings these people into our lives. And so as you're praying for family, and sometimes they're a long way away, or maybe just in a different part of town, but it isn't like you live next door to them. And even if you did, you can't be, hounding them, or it kind of drives people away. But he can bring other people into their life that know the Lord, and he can use them in their lives. Sometimes they're more open and receptive to some stranger or to some friend of theirs that got saved and trust Christ for salvation than they do for mom or dad or somebody else. And so he's the one who brings them into our lives. And he's able to bring this into our lives here and now. And we see here that he also brings delight into our souls when we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And we see several different things that he does when we believe we are sealed. That's at that particular time. And we talked about, to begin with, there was a threefold purpose, three different types of meaning of this sealing. And we're going to look at each one of those for just a few moments to guarantee the I am trouble talking today. Let me try. It's that black juice. Wake up the brain. No. The authenticity. There we go. And we see here that he wants to help us to see that it's real. It's authentic. Our salvation is authentic. Paul said that he was an apostle. Some believed that he was. Some didn't think he was. But he's telling these people, he says, you are the proof of my apostleship. He's the one who shared the truth. He's the one who shared the Word of God. He's the one who led them to come to know Christ as Savior. And so he says to them there in 2 Corinthians, he says, you are our epistle written in your hearts, okay? Known and read of men. People observe our lives. You know, you can tell them something, but it means something when you can show it to them. that, you know, hey, I really am an alive Christian, you know, and you can believe how I live. It's a demonstration of what I believe. He says, for as much as you are manifest or made known, declared an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. If I be not an apostle unto others, yea, doubtless I am to you, for the seal of my apostleship, ye are in the Lord. He said, you're the proof that I'm an apostle. Okay? He was an authentic apostle. Well, how do we know that we're in a Christian? Last time I checked, I mean, we joke about this. The mailman comes, you know, and I'll say, okay, I'm going to go out and see if that big check showed up. And that was kind of something Maureen's dad used to say. You know, and he was, where he worked was close enough that he'd run home for lunch. You know, and he'd come home and he said, that check show up today? No, I guess I got to go back to work then, you know. And it was just this imaginary check that if he got a big check, then he wouldn't have to go back to work anymore. But anyway, so if you're missing here one of these days, I'll just assume that big check showed up, right? Publishers, cheering house. Yeah, we'd be cheering. Clearing house, okay? But the thing is, we don't get some official document. You may have in a drawer somewhere, or maybe even in a little plaque, a baptismal certificate, or maybe you've got something that shows you're a member of a church or something like that. But we don't, there's nothing that you get in the mail that says you now are a Christian, you know? We get cards for everything else. I don't even know when they start sending. I think people are in their 40s and AARP is starting to send them stuff, you know, card-carrying AARP member or something. But we don't get anything like that as a Christian. So how do we know that it's authentic? How do we know that it really happened? And the thing is, the Lord gave us His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, so that we would know that we belong to Him. He's given us the Spirit so we can know that we belong to the Lord. And so that, as we saw here in Scripture, that we can call Him Abba, Father. That's kind of like saying Daddy. And the sealing of the Holy Spirit is that assurance that we are indeed the believer. And let's look back here once again at Romans. Romans chapter 8. Verse 16, it says, Romans 8:16, the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit here, itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So God's Spirit speaks to our spirit and gives us assurance that we belong to Him. We're going to feel within our own selves, yes, I am indeed a believer. And it's because of what we believe, that we've trusted alone in Jesus Christ for our salvation. We see here also, it shows a matter of ownership. And back in Old Testament days, when they had kings, oftentimes they would have the king's seal. I mean, they didn't have, you put a letter together, they didn't put it in an envelope and either peel it or lick it and stick it. You know, they fold the thing over and they put a drop of wax on it, and the king would have a fancy ring and he'd, you know, and if that, they could tell if that had been messed with. Yeah, but that would, no, that was indeed from the king. And it's like God has put that stamp on us. Now, there's no tattoos. Some of it, I don't even, Maureen does most of the shopping anymore, so I'm not sure what they put on stamps of meat. But it used to be that you get that USDA stamp on there, grade A, or whatever grade it happens to be. You know, but there was something on there to show that it was valuable, okay? That this is a good piece of meat. Well, God puts His stamp on us. And he uses that in the form of the Holy Spirit coming into our hearts and lives. In the Old Testament, we see that there was quite an involved process that God, with the priests, and he had them engraved in pure gold, an engraving that said holiness unto the Lord that the priests would wear. They also had the different jewels representing all the different tribes that the priests would wear, the breastplate of righteousness. And the New Testament is different than that. God doesn't give us a piece of jewelry, but instead he gives us a person. He gives us the Holy Spirit, and who takes residence in our hearts and lives. And he dwells within us, as we saw there earlier in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. And this is how much God loves us. The Holy Spirit is like God, the Father. He's like the Son. He wants that to be living within us. And he also provides this seal as a form of protection. And it's kind of like that little seal that we had on the communion cups here today for protection. You know, if those were all just kind of cups sitting there and they got shipped in that way, you had no idea what was in it. You know, it's kind of like, well, I'm going to say there isn't pop soda bottles with a pop top. You know, you like to hear that pop. You know that it's sealed, you know, or the can when you pop it. There ought to be a little bit of noise there. You know it's sealed. If it doesn't, do I really want to drink this stuff? Or you go home and you got your salad dressing thing and the cap's broke seal or something. You know, somebody been tampering with this? You know, I mean, everything's sealed nowadays. And it is there to protect us. And so the thing is, God, even in his word, helped us to see there were certain things that were protected. And an example of that is in the Old Testament with King Ahasuerus. Now, there's a quite a mouthful. A lot of vowels. And anyway, okay, so we've got the Queen Esther here as well. And Mordecai the Jew. And they're writing out this proclamation there in Esther 8:8. And it says, write ye also for the Jews as ye like it, liketh you, and the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For in writing which is written in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring, may no man reverse. Okay? So what was said, this is it. You can't change it. And so this is kind of what God is saying. God's keeping records. He's saying, you are mine. You are my child. Our name's written. The Bible talks about there that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Okay? Some of you are old enough, remember when they used to talk about indelible ink? You know? Okay? It was something that didn't erase. You know, there wasn't any invisible ink there. It was written down, and no matter what you did, it was there. It was for good. And there's nothing that God's ever going to take it back. He's not going to change his mind. And so we don't have to be like David. Lord, please don't take your spirit from me. Okay? He's not going to do that. Once he's given us his spirit, it's ours for eternity. And we see here that we receive this seal. It's going to protect us. Even there in times of our lives when we may stumble as a Christian, we may doubt one thing or another, we may not be living quite like we ought, we're still sealed. Okay? Now, that's not a license. Some say, oh, well, that's a license to go out and sin. No, it isn't. If you really are a believer, you're not going to want to sin. And if you do, God's going to convict you to make you feel rotten when you do it. Okay? And you're going to want to get back in fellowship with him. But we're sealed of the Holy Spirit. He says, you are authentically my son. And nothing's going to change that. And he, again, gives us that pledge of future inheritance. Let's go back here to Ephesians in verse 14. Ephesians 1, verse 14. It says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, again, if you're not paying attention here, you kind of go, what? What's he talking about? Well, this pledge or this earnest, it has the idea of down payment. Some of you have bought a house or maybe someday will buy a house. And you go and look at it and say, yeah, that's the house I want. Well, there might be a few other people that want that house too. But it's the one who puts down their earnest money. And I don't even know how much you got to put down now. But you put enough money down that they know, hey, this is for real. This guy's not just teasing. You know, he really wants this thing and he's going to pay us the rest of it once he gets his loan approved and everything else. And we're going to ultimately get all of our money. Well, another way to think of this, it's kind of like an engagement ring for the ladies. They get the ring and oftentimes there's a diamond in it, you know, and it's a promise that I'm going to marry you. And, you know, the best is yet to come. There's more to go with that. You're going to get the other ring that goes with that. And so this is kind of like the Holy Spirit is God's engagement ring, if you will. It's a promise that there's more to come. This is just kind of, this will hold you over till you get to heaven. And so he's going to give us the rest. We have an inheritance. We've seen this. And God, the best is yet to come. And so God has given us this earnest, this promise, if you will. 2 Corinthians 5:5 says, now he that hath wrought for us the selfsame thing is God, who also has given us the earnest of the Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is just a foretaste, if you will, of what is yet to come. There's a whole lot more in store for us that God has planned for us. And it's a pledge that's going to give you kind of that desire for more. Now, you have to think back a year or more. How many of you have been to Sam's Club or, okay, grocery store that hand out samples, okay? Now they just have this plastic thing and you get to look at it. Now, oh, I bet that tastes good. Yeah. Yeah. No, they used to give you this little bit, or they scoop out this little spoon, you know, ice cream, you know, just enough to kind of get your appetite going. And they just happen to have a whole freezer full of stuff right behind you. Here, we'll sell this to you. Well, you know, the idea is just, it's a sample. The best is yet to come. And that's kind of, in a sense, what the Holy Spirit is. He's saying, this is just a taste of it. God's got a whole lot more for you. And so we see here the Holy Spirit helps us in that area of our life. And he wants us to read the Word of God, to study the Word of God, to have head knowledge of the Word of God. But he also wants us to have heart knowledge. And that's kind of where the Holy Spirit comes in. He helps us to have an emotional attachment to our Heavenly Father, to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we experience a twofold thing. If we're only going on Scripture, we're kind of connected to God through the Word, and that's good, but he doesn't want us to stop there. He wants us also to have that emotional attachment to him. Well, how long does this Holy Spirit seal us anyway? I mean, is it kind of got an expiration date on that? Well, it says here, until the redemption of the purchased possession. Okay, let's think about that. Who's the Redeemer? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's redeemed us. He did that there on the cross. He's bought us. He's paid for us with his own shed blood. And we belong to him. We've seen that. Our bodies, our spirits are no longer ours. They belong to the Lord. And so he's going to redeem us. Ephesians 4:30 talks about this as well. The fact that we are redeemed. and he will redeem us. And he's bought and paid for us. And one of these days, he's coming back for us. And he's going to take us home with him. And the Holy Spirit guarantees that all that's going to happen, just like God said it would. And nobody else can come along and say, you don't belong to the Lord. Well, they might say that, but they're wrong. Because God's saying, no, that one's one of mine. And he sealed us until the rapture, until Christ comes back to take us home. And we're going to be with him for all eternity. Then we're going to have that full inheritance. Then we're going to be with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit for all eternity. And the thing is, God loved us so much that, again, he gave us his Holy Spirit. Didn't give us just a piece of jewelry or something to show that there's some connection there. But he sealed us with his Holy Spirit. And we're kept secure. We're protected. He's going to care for us all the way through this life, no matter what happens. No matter if the Equality Act gets approved. Who knows what else they'll come up with, all right? They're just getting started. And God's going to take care of us all. It's a surprise to us, you know? What? Guys and girls' bathrooms and shower? Weird stuff, you know? Who'd ever thought we'd get that far, you know? But God said things are going to go downhill, you know? Before the end, we might be already on the slide. I don't know. God does. But the thing is, whatever comes, God's going to take care of us. We're one of his. We're one of his kids. The best is yet to come. And he's given us his Spirit to guarantee that. The question today is, though, do you belong to him? Has there been a point in time where you can say, yes, that's when I trusted Christ as my personal Savior? Folks, the temptation is to put it off. One of these days, I'll get around to doing that. Or I've got this hang up or that hang up or whatever. I'm not so sure about. You're not going to have all your questions answered this side of heaven anyway. But the thing is, you got to come to that point where you realize I'm a sinner. And if I don't do anything about it, I'm going to end up in hell, in the lake of fire. And there's only one way out of that. There's only one exit off of that freeway to hell, and that's the exit to choose Jesus. There is no other. And so we need to trust in Jesus Christ alone for our salvation. Not something hard, not something difficult. We're not asking you to join a church or anything else. This is just a personal relationship between you and the Lord. And it's something you can do in the quietness of your own car in a parking lot or at home. The advantage of doing it here is that we can sit down and share with you a few verses out of the Word of God that helps you to see this is what God says, not just what the guy up front saying. This is what God says. And your assurance is from the Lord, not from me, okay? And so if we can talk with you and pray with you, help you to see for sure, you know, you can walk out of here knowing, not proud, not boastful, hey, if I die today, I know I'm headed for heaven. That's the kind of assurance that God wants us to have. He doesn't want us to just kind of stumble through life saying, well, I hope I'm going to make it. I hope. You know, hoping doesn't cut it, okay? God wants us to know that we belong to him. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. There's so much that he does for us that we don't even quite grasp how much that he does. And yet one of those things we saw here today, the fact that he seals us. We can be thankful that you've saw fit to seal us once we come to you for salvation. And that it's not something we can lose later on. And you're going to keep us secure throughout this life and into the next. And you've never lost one of your kids yet. You aren't going to start with us. And Lord, we pray that if there be anybody here that's never trusted Christ alone for salvation, that you would draw them to yourself soon. And those of us who have trusted Christ, Lord, help us to be excited about our faith, to realize, you know, it's not just great, I got all this inheritance waiting for me in heaven, that we want to tell other people about it so that they might also not end up in hell and end up in heaven. Not that we can save anybody, but we can give them the information they need to make that right choice. And we'll thank you for your help now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like for us to sing a closing hymn, if you would, please. Number 253, where the Spirit of the Lord is. 253, find out when you stand with me as we sing.